In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christmas has different benefits for different people. There are many different benefits of Christmas that I look forward to each year, such as lots of good food. This year in particular, Godiva chocolates and home-baked cookies brought by the office as thank yous. I also enjoy the music of this time of year. It's so nice to have Andrea here on the harp. I enjoy the different movies as well. I enjoy watching It's a Wonderful Life, Charlie Brown Christmas, Home Alone. Maybe you enjoy the break in the routine, something a little different for this time of year. There are lots of different benefits to Christmas. And the reality is, on the other hand, there are many things for many people that are sometimes dreadful about Christmas. The loss of loved ones, or the extra added pressure on you at work. But as we look at the Christmas story, which has been so beautifully unfolded for us in the different readings and the carols tonight, we see that primarily there are two tremendous benefits to Christmas. Of everything else that Christmas involves, and of all the chaos that it brings this time of year, there are two benefits in particular for which we can be grateful. Those two benefits are the benefit of receiving a gift and the benefit of resting from work. I want to just look at both of these briefly. First of all, the benefit of receiving a gift. Now, the gospel story in Matthew tells us that Jesus was the name that was to be given to the child born of Mary because he would save his people from their sins. And so the most tremendous gift that Christmas brings us is the gift of forgiveness. Now, this word sin is obviously not something that we necessarily prefer to think about at Christmas, and yet, without facing it, we miss the beauty of why Christ was born. See, Jesus comes into the world not as one who condemns, but as one who saves. When I was 8 years old, my friend Jonathan and I were out on a lake, the lake house of where my parents were living at the time, and we decided that it would be a fun experiment to see what would happen if we let the air out of our rafts while we were out in the middle of the lake. So as we embarked on this little experiment, it was pretty quickly into it that we realized, hey, these rafts are getting heavier and heavier and sinking and sinking, and they're taking us down, and this was really kind of a dumb idea. It was about that time I saw my dad walk out of the house and onto the deck, looking out at us, shaking his head. Now, in the very same moment, I was both terrified and yet tremendously overjoyed. See, I was terrified because I'd been exposed for what I had done, and yet I was tremendously overjoyed because I knew that he would come to my rescue. We see, as we reflect on the birth of Christ, it's much like that. He came to us while we were living imperfect lives and making mistakes. And yet, instead of condemning us, he entered into our suffering and took our sin and our mistakes upon himself. That's a gift. It's a gift that he did freely, and the gift that he freely offers to us at Christmas. Now, notice, if you will, how different this is from traditional religion, you might say. Not that I'm knocking religion, I'm kind of into religious stuff. But when you look at religion in the strictest sense of the word, religion historically has said essentially that if you want God to like you, you better clean up your act. If you want to be part of this church or this religious body, then you better not smoke or cuss or chew. And yet, when you look at the Bible, we see that of all of the people to whom Jesus came, the ones that he pursued and embraced most passionately were those who felt that they weren't good enough for church. Those who people hated, perhaps didn't fit in at school. See, when he says he would save his people from their sins, his people weren't those who were already good people. His people were those who were the bad people. And he came to his people. And as Jesus says in the Gospel of Mark, it's not the healthy who need a physician, but the wounded. And so the ones that Jesus chooses to call his people are the ones that are hurting, the ones that are flawed, the ones that are broken. You and me. And so that's a gift. And Christmas is first of all about the benefit of receiving that gift. But there's a second benefit of Christmas, and that's the benefit of resting from work. Now, the Matthew passage tells us that the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. You know, in July, my wife and I celebrated 20 years of marriage. And as we look back on the time in which we were first getting to know each other, I can recall, as a sophomore in college, when we weren't with each other all the time. And because we weren't with each other all the time, when I was with her, I had to constantly be on guard and be on my best behavior. You know how when you're with somebody that you want to impress, you want to make a good impression, you want them to like you, you want to do everything you can to keep them from seeing that other side that we all have, right? But then you get married, and you eventually just get to a point where you just can't keep up. You can't hide that other side, right? Because you are with each other. There's no hiding. And you know, there's something really beautiful about that. Because when you get to that point, you realize that you no longer have to win that person's approval, and you simply rest in the fact that they accept you. That's the message of Christmas, that God is with us. And that's the promise that he gives for all who dare to believe it, that we can rest from working to earn his favor because he is with us. This means when you have a sink full of dirty dishes at the end of the day and you're irritated with your children, God is with you. It means when you and your spouse are stressed out and money is tight and the last thing you want to do is go to church and be nice to people, God is with you. And it means when you're sitting around the tree tomorrow morning with messed up hair and bad breath, taking pictures for the grandparents to post on Facebook, God is with you. We can rest. You can stop worrying about what other people think. You can stop worrying about whether God likes you. You can rest from your work because God is with you. Now, I realize that for many of you, the Christmas story might raise some questions. You know, how could a virgin be said to be with child? And what about these angels that appear to people and speak to them in dreams? And let me just say, those are all valid questions, and there are answers, but consider that those questions are so often asked in order to keep from having to face the deeper questions we all need to ask, such as whether or not we believe that God can be with us in the midst of our sin if we simply trust him. You know, after the tragic death of Robin Williams earlier this year, as I grieved about all the different ways that his comedy and his movies in some way impacted me as I was growing up, I went back and watched a few of my favorite movies of his, and one of them in particular was the movie Good Will Hunting. In the movie Good Will Hunting, he plays a counselor who is trying his best to get through to an abused teenager who really has a tough exterior and who won't let him in because he wants to make him think that he knows everything. And there's a scene in which Robin Williams takes this person who is played by Matt Damon out to a lake, and he says to him, "If I asked you about art, you'd probably give me the skinny on every art book ever written. Michelangelo, you know a lot about him, his life's work, his political aspirations, the whole works, right? But I bet you can't tell me what it smells like in the Sistine Chapel. You've never actually stood there and looked up at that beautiful ceiling. I've seen that. Listen," he says, "you're a tough kid. And if I ask you about war, you'd probably throw Shakespeare at me, right? Once more into the breach, dear friends. But you've never been near a breach. You've never held your best friend's head in your lap and watched him gasp his last breath, looking to you for help. And if I asked you about love, you'd probably quote me a sonnet. But you've never looked at a woman and been totally vulnerable. You've never known someone could level you with their eyes, feeling like God put an angel on earth just for you, who could rescue you from the depths of hell." See what he's saying? He's saying anybody can know about something, but to actually know and experience that something is altogether different. And so in the Christmas story, it reminds us that anybody can know about theology, anybody can know about these stories, anybody can know the scripture, but have we experienced the life-changing reality of being forgiven? Have you embraced the fact that Jesus, willing to be born into this world, into a dirty manger among peasant people in an obscure village facing political oppression, means that Jesus used the very stuff of this earth to show you how much he longs to be with you? That's his gift. That's why we can rest. Jesus was born so that you can know him intimately. He loves you, not just at Christmas, but always. And so he is the King who created the world and who creates us, but he is also the King who stoops down to you and meets you in your need. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, thanks be to God. Amen.